listening to the Norfolk Chambers of Commerce podcast. We're connecting voices right across Norfolk.
Welcome to our Norfolk Chambers podcast. I'm your host, Hayes Carver, and in today's podcast, I'm chatting with John Norcliffe, founder and director of Redhead Architects, an architects firm based right here in Norwich City Centre. Today, we'll be talking about John's journey of setting up a business just as lockdown started and the challenges and successes that John has gone through. So thanks so much for joining me today, John. It's great to have you here on our Norfolk Chambers podcast.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
You're so welcome. So let's start at the beginning, John. You started your career working in practices in London and then spent a few years in Bermuda. Very, very different from Norfolk. What was the pull for you to return to Norfolk?
Well, Norfolk and Norwich is in particular, Norwich in particular, has always been an amazing place to live. I grew up here. Most people my age got out of Norwich as soon as they could to go off to university, etc. And then many years later, I think many people have realised how amazing it is. And so they want to come back. So I've been trying to come back for quite some time. It's now possible to do it. I mean, careers in design and the creative industries have really taken off. So it's actually now possible for architects and graphic designers and many other types of creatives to actually build a career in the region, which I think is fantastic. I think this is borne out by the UEA. They've got the second highest retention rates, I think, in the UK now for university graduates staying put. Norwich University of the Arts are leading the way with a diverse range of courses. So the digital sector is really growing, and I think that has to be a brilliant thing for Norwich and Norfolk as a region. So for me, it was really a no-brainer, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, isn't it, about when you go to university, you then end up staying.
Yeah, absolutely. The quality of life is incredible. And we have clients and projects here as well. People who've never been to Norwich, for example, for the first time, they just can't believe it. It is so unique and fantastic. It's got a lovely historic centre to it. The Norwich market is thriving. Loads of new small emerging businesses are turning into medium size and larger ones. A real independent spirit. So yeah, it's just a no-brainer really. I work on the Norfolk Construction Excellence group, and we organise various lectures and stuff in the region. And we get to meet a lot of these new businesses. And so you really get a sense of optimism and bucking the trends in many ways. I mean, so many cities and towns are going through their struggles, obviously following the pandemic, etc. But it seems like Norwich is, I don't know, kind of the high street's got it's tough out there, but I think things are definitely changing, and there's a huge amount of optimism about. So we're in the right place.
Yeah, I think we absolutely are. Norfolk has changed. Norwich has changed so much in the last 20 years since we've been away. When you come back and think about how it was when we were studying here, it's so much creative industry here now. It's just that it's really thriving.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's always been like that. I think there's always been an independent spirit. I don't know whether it's because people who aspire to larger cities think that Norwich has to try a bit harder to somehow compete. By doing that, they've somehow almost jumped ahead in a funny kind of way. So it's definitely changed. The big difference is now is the jobs are here. That's, I think, the big difference. Before, you could wish to stay, but it just hasn't been possible. Also, it's really important for two or three jobs to exist in one area so that you can dare move from London to try a job. And then if that doesn't work, there is another place you could work. So you need these communities to build. And I think once you've got three or four similar businesses or industries operating in the same sort of area, then that will encourage more and more people to join.
There's an amazing line on your website, which I just love. Keep it simple, be nice, work hard, and listen to our clients and produce the best designs we can. It's such an amazing ethos, and it's clearly working brilliantly for you. So can we just talk a bit about what inspired you to set up Redhead and go out on your own?
Well, I've just been very fortunate to have gained such a varied experience over the years. I've worked for numerous practices, large and small. They've all been fantastic, and they've each had their own sort of separate approach, their own set of priorities. So I guess what I've tried to do is to try and, essentially pick all the good bits and then build Redhead off of that. I mean, it's a pretty simple plan, really. We're just trying to keep focused on good design and use technology as much as possible to simplify the delivery process. Architecture is quite daunting for clients. There's a massive investment for them to make a huge change to probably their biggest asset, their home in many cases. They may have to move out. There's going to be loads of builders involved. It's going to take a long time. There's a lot to kind of consider there. And so the last thing I think I need on top of all that is for the design process itself to be confused. So to be able to use new technology, particularly virtual reality, which we use all the time now, it just makes the whole thing much more democratic. So, you know, whatever your career or your line of work, you may not be particularly visual. You may not be able to see or explain what it is that you like. But if you can actually see it in 3D, then you can comment on that. Yeah. You know, it's democratic. So that's what I think I really love. I love technology, but I'm not in any way kind of a geek. We're just trying to use what's out there to just work in a smarter way, really. And so that's what was really driving us, I suppose.
I think that's exactly it. It takes that complication, doesn't it, for people who aren't, like you say, aren't creative. With VR, they can visualize how it's going to look, because it's your job to look after the complicated side of things and to make it easy for someone to understand and actually make room for all that, like you say, the work they're going to have done, how it's going to change their lives. If they can see the end result and actually walk around that end result virtually, then that's half your job done.
I mean, it's brilliant for the client. They know what they're getting. I mean, I've been in so many meetings over the years where we've drawn a set of plans and we're having a discussion, and you can just tell that the client or maybe other members of the team just don't quite get what it is that we're trying to do or design. So taking that away just makes it brilliant. For us, it's brilliant as well because we get less changes. You know what you like and you've agreed at all that it's unlikely to change later. And then there's a huge number of decisions and technical things to figure out, which, you know, if the client's interested in, they can be really involved in. But if they're not particularly interested and they just want it to happen, we can take care of that for them. So we involve people as much as possible and try and be as collaborative as we can. But yeah, it's just a democratic process. That's I think the main difference.
What were the biggest challenges of setting up just at the beginning of lockdown? I mean, I've spoken to so many businesses, people who have started a business at this time. What were the biggest challenges for you?
I started it in November 2019, working from home with a few trusted freelancers, which worked really well. Robert joins in March, 1 week before the lockdown happened. So we had one meeting face to face, and then just like everyone else, we were Googling what Zoom was, and we had to just adapt very quickly. I think really it wasn't so bad for us. We were so small, all we had to do was just kind of keep the work going, whereas other companies had to worry about human resources and furlough and all of these kind of huge pressures. So in a sense, we felt quite isolated from it, which was great. So before long, we were Zooming in our casual wear, just along with everyone else, and it felt pretty normal. We're back in our office now, however, and that's just fantastic. So to be back into central Norwich above our tail is a big boost.
Amazing coffee as well. That's got to be a huge boost.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it just you can't beat face-to-face interaction. I mean, it works really well with Zoom, but to actually have meetings and meet with people and especially over a lovely coffee is just a fantastic thing. We love our base in the central Norwich. It's just such a great place to be, and there are so many interesting consultants and really interesting innovative businesses out there as well. So to be able to get to them easily is obviously fantastic.
What are your kind of most exciting projects?
Well, right now we feel lucky we've got a real mixture of interesting projects, ranging from a hotel, various apartment developments, a listed hall, numerous one-off houses. We even have a palazzo in Umbria, which is just incredible to work on. We really love working on existing buildings. I think the big challenge for all of us as a society is to work out how we can repurpose them. We've got to adapt them, and we've got to work out a better way of bringing them back into surface. This repurposing really is kind of, in a sense, the architecture, in a sense. I mean, if we can find the big idea, the way to unlock an existing building rather than having to demolish it and rebuild it, then I think that's going to make a massive step forward for all of us. We have to achieve the sustainability goals that are coming into force in theory by 2030. Well, not theory, by 2030, every building you see out the window is supposed to be net zero, off fossil fuels, highly insulated, completely new heating systems. And that's a massive undertaking. And it's going to be very difficult for people to engage with that. I mean, who has a huge chunk of money set aside? Who can move out of their home, have the whole thing done, and then move back? It just, in a sense, it's just impossible to imagine how that's possible. So I think we've got to chip away at it sort of piece by piece. So we're really looking at ways to help clients be able to access this kind of advice without having to hire a whole team of consultants. It's got to be the same as having your carpets refitted. You know, it's a drag, but it's kind of a 2 or 3 day project. That's the only way we can do it.
The sustainability challenges for every business, especially with an architecture, especially in a city like Norwich, where you've got so many incredible historic buildings and then you're repurposing them. It's getting that mix right. How do we look after these listed buildings? How do we make them sustainable when they weren't designed for that? Probably quite an exciting challenge.
It's a huge challenge. I mean, every building you see is very different. So the way that you can upgrade it would be a totally different approaches that you can take. There's also a lot about how we live as well. I mean, everything's changed in terms of working from home. The whole idea of a commute is now changing. You know, you might work 2 or 3 days from home and 2 or 3 days in the office. That has totally changed the sort of working patterns that we have. So then you've got to think to yourself, well, why why are we building houses in the middle of nowhere? Why shouldn't we focus on building and repurposing buildings in the city? We've obviously got to keep commerce going and shops and cafes and everything else well supported. So much like many, you know, European cities where you go on holiday, you think, this is so buzzy. Why is it full of cafes and bars and why are they all functioning? It's primarily because more people live in the city. They don't commute out. They're upstairs in apartments. So this idea of city living would, in a way, kill two birds with one stone. It will help us repurpose the buildings that we've got, upgrade them, and also change our patterns of behaviour, which will just reduce the amount of travelling around that we do as well. So it's a big topic.
It is a huge topic. And I guess we were talking about this recently in a pub, weren't we, about the 15-minute neighbourhood, which I just love that idea. So I guess those people who now do live further out of town, at the moment of recording this, we're currently in the middle of the petrol issues, but so lots of stations are closed and it's making people reevaluate. Well, actually, I can't use my car and I'm stuck away from the stores and the shops and the school. So I just love the idea of the 15-minute neighbourhood. And I guess that's something we'll all be thinking about in the future. Now that commutes, most of us are working from home, hybrid working.
There is a lot to do. We don't need to do everything absolutely at once, but we do need to start actually doing something. There are still loads of great talks going on and discussions and, you know, COP and everything else. This is all great, but we actually have to, as individuals, start making actual real change. And I think that's something that, you know, is very hard for everyone to sort of get their heads around. Living in the city would be great, wouldn't it? I mean, if the amenities were there, if the parks were there, if the shops were there, if the cafes were there, it's a huge adjustment that I think will sort of happen over time. Obviously, with the pandemic, many, many shop units are empty now. I see that as an opportunity. The shops need to go back in for sure, but just for that brief moment whilst they're out, let's put the fire escape in. Let's adapt the entrance. Let's separate the upstairs from the downstairs so it's properly soundproofed, so that when the shop goes back in again, the tenant can start paying rent and therefore the landlords, you know, can earn an income again. But there's no one in at the moment, so let's use this chance now to adapt the ground floor to almost free up or open up the upper floors to allow people to live in what are currently empty storerooms.
That highlights, doesn't it, the opportunities that come from challenges. So the high street's quite challenged at the moment. There's a huge opportunity now for development and changing things for the better. So in terms of changing things, Redhead, you're expanding really, really quickly. You're currently recruiting for another architect. What kind of person are you looking for the Redhead family?
Yeah, we are growing. We're trying not to grow too quickly. However, we are just attracting many, many interesting projects. So right now we're looking for architects of all levels of qualification. So fully qualified right down to call a part one or a recent graduate. In terms of what we want, it's just someone who shares our interest in good design and collaborative working. We use 3D modelling and VR as a design tool. So an interest in new ways of working is obviously really important. But overall, they just have to be a good communicator and a problem solver. You know, we're a service industry, so we have to be able to communicate. If we can't explain what it is, the key components of a project, then the client won't understand it. If we don't listen to the client to actually understand what it is they want in the first place, then you end up in this kind of weird kind of professional versus sort of client relationship. We just prefer to just collaborate on a much more kind of simple level, in a sense. Just someone who's enthusiastic fundamentally, and someone who's great.
Exactly. And it is about communication, isn't it? You can't have cross lines and mixed messages when you're creating something that's physical and real.
No.
Okay, so what are you excited about for the future?
Well, we've got enormous challenges in terms of our sustainability goals. That's kind of one element of it, which means that every home, every workplace, how we function is going to change. So that is just going to happen over time. We already see that as just normality, the new reality. So we are just trying to just approach it in a simplistic way where we will just bake it into any design. So every single new project that we work on, we will already allow for additional thickness in the walls, for example, just so that as the design develops, we can fit any level of insulation required later on. We'll try and collaborate much more closely with engineers so that the plant that goes on the roof or the air source heat pump that needs to sit to heat it is already kind of planned for. So those are the kind of challenges for us. But for us as an architect, it's an amazing time to be working in the sector. There's so much new innovation and new technology that's out there. There are so many challenges to meet that I can't think of a more exciting sort of world to be inhabit, really. So it's a challenge, but it should be fun. And at the end of the day, it boils down to good design. You know, is it a nice place to live and work, this place that you've created? Is it sunny, been well thought out? Is there enough storage? Can you get a good link to your garden? You look on Rightmove and there are loads of lovely houses on there, but hardly any of them have the things that people actually want. And it's not big budget stuff. It's just kind of getting the plan right, you know, making it sort of more flexible for young families or people who are older who might want to live on the ground floor only. And all this kind of flexibility needs to be built in.
I think you're right. Everyone's been asking those questions, haven't they, since the whole of lockdown. We're spending so much time in our homes. Is this working? How can I adapt it? I don't have to move. Maybe we can just make those kind of small or very large changes, and our house and our homes work better for us. And I think you're right, these are exciting times.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a massive challenge that we all have to kind of rise up to, but we just need a bit more focus, really. And I think rather than just everything being doom and gloom, let's turn it into a positive. Let's use this as the chance to, you know, get the right courses lined up, the new students coming out of schools and later on colleges. There is so much work potentially for people to fix and change things. Who pays for it is a big thing to work out. Is there a grant? Everything else like that. That's stalling everything at the moment, and that will get figured out. But we just there are some absolutes. We know that these things will need to get changed, and therefore we will need young people to repurpose their careers in order to meet that demand. So let's focus on some of the positive aspects, I would say.
I love that, positive aspects. John, that is such a positive note to end this podcast on. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been really, really interesting to listen to you.
Thanks so much, Hayes. It's been lovely to have a chat.
You're so welcome. Thank you for listening, and please do join me next week. Until then, keep connecting and take care.
You've been listening to the Norfolk Chamber of Commerce podcast, connecting, supporting, giving voice to every business in Norfolk.